on the 1 yard line with their backs against the wall.
This ain't a game to me. If you think it's a game, get the fuck off of this bus.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to a special evening edition of the Believe in Iowa State podcast. I'm your host, Tyler Carter.
And I'm your host, Cody Vanciolo.
Cody, I thought I was really, really tech savvy. This whole entire situation proved that I am not. Like, man, I was trying to figure out why my mic wasn't working. And then I realized it was a stupid button on my computer, and it showed that my microphone was muted. So I feel completely dumb.
Oh, gosh. No. Okay. I mean, we're going to get to this later, but this basically felt like Iowa State's performance. You struggling against technology felt like Iowa State's performance against Arkansas State. But we'll get to that a little later. But obviously, this is a later edition of the podcast. As there's actually some women's volleyball going on today. I obviously have to go to that because so far in the year, the ladies have been performing really well. They're 7-1 in the year. They've only dropped 4 sets, and I got to see them play against University of Nebraska Omaha. Won that game in 4 sets, and there were some things that impressed me about this team. And this week. Before I talk about what's going to be happening this week, there are some couple players that I like want to talk about real quick for the Iowa State volleyball squad. Aaliyah Goolsby, freshman outside hitter, really impressive. It continues to really impress for the squad. 24 kills on the day, so a really good day for her attacking. And then Maya Duckworth with 13 to follow that up. Lily Wackles with 9. And Morgan Brandt, the senior setter, with a double-double. SC was able to get 48 assists and 14 digs. Not too far. Well, and then dig defensively wise, we'll have to go through Rachel Van Gorp, our libero, 23 digs on the day. And Nally Tia, who is one of the new transfers that came in with 11 digs. So really excited for that. So just excited to see this team. And this week, it's coming up Wednesday, will be the Iowa State, will be Cyhawk. So we got the volleyball edition of Cyhawk. I unfortunately cannot attend that. I would love to go to Coralville to go watch it, but I literally have an exam that night. But I digress, and I'm just hoping that our ladies can take care of business and continues to remind the team out east that this is a Cyclone State and that just doesn't talk about football but also volleyball. So just a real quick tidbit on volleyball.
All right, thank you for that, Cody, and make sure to pack out the place or go to Coralville and see if you can support your lady clones. All right. As always, we are back at it. Thank you, Thomas Ornes, with your contributions for video. There were a few plays that I do want to talk about. We're just going to go through this offensive sequence. And I really want to know what your thoughts were on this first offensive sequence. So we're going to play that.
And Xavier Townsend in motion. Back to the air. Deep shot right out of the gates, and he overshot it to Brett Eskelson, who's been his best wideout so far. Carson Hansen is the big-bodied physical running back, but it's back to the air and nearly intercepted as he overshot Xavier Townsend. Point tweak suffered earlier this week. So on third down, where does Betts go? On the move, and Betts gets rid of it, incomplete in the direction of Hansen.
All right, because I'm not going to lie, when I first saw this first series, I was wondering, like, okay, what is all the fuss about? Because I didn't see the first series because I woke up from a nap, and I was like, okay, what is all the fuss about? So it just seems like there was some miscommunication. So obviously you would like to be more crisp on your first series, So with that being said, do you think that at the in the opening series, do you think we should have started off with running the football?
I think the conventional wisdom, and I mean hindsight, yes. I mean, you're considering you're going against a team who gave up 300 rushing yards to Arkansas. So we really thought you came into this game just running the football and just keep pounding it all over Arkansas State. But I'm thinking maybe the psyche, and I think Kirsten Williams mentioned this, is I think in this game you just wanted to go for the knockout blow. And that's what I've noticed with Taylor Mauser versus, Tom Manning or Nate Shieldhouse during Matt Campbell's tenure. Taylor Mauser has been a much like his scheme is much more aggressive. And I think this is just a case where Iowa State kind of came into this game. It's like it's been a really exhausting 4 weeks. You traveled across to Ireland. You've played two of your biggest rivals. You won against your biggest, both of your biggest rivals. So it's been a really draining last couple of weeks, also with fall camp. So I think maybe there's a sense of like wanting to come in and just really just taking down, like getting up early at Arkansas, just really knocking them out in the first quarter before the game really even got started. And just not making this a game. So I think that was kind of the idea that Iowa State was going for. It obviously, well, now that we see what it was like, the game was like now, and looking at like with hindsight, it didn't work out necessarily. It just didn't work out. But the idea is there. And I think, yes, if you were in the moment of time, yeah, just you want to just make this not a game early on. So that way you can just rest up everybody and get to the bye week. So I think this is just like something that, like, the idea was there, just the execution was not.
Yeah. All right. So, you know, after this play or after this drive, Iowa State was able to get a three and out. And then we get to look at this next scoring drive by the Cyclones. So sit back as we watch this.
Down right around the line of scrimmage. Elijah Carnell in on the stop and third down coming up.
And this is what Iowa State defense loves to do. They like to just make sure that.
And Townsend makes the catch at the nine, building the highest ranked of the three. They do not have a ranked team remaining on their schedule. Here's Carson Hansen, and he bangs down, and he's got enough for a first down. Trenton Allen Yao in on the stop. And the pass catchers as well, outside of the tight ends, have not got going yet. Here's one of the tight ends, Tyler Moore, who slips a tackle. And Moore barrels down the sideline and rumbles to midfield. Just his third catch of the season, Tyler Moore.
Oh, it's always fun when you've got an offensive coordinator who's also doubles as the tight ends coach. He's going to get the ball to the tight end. And this is now the fourth tight end on the depth chart in Tyler Moore. All he does is grunt to the outside, ball delivered, and he makes a play.
And then Hansen goes spinning forward with a good pickup on first ball.
6'2", 6'4", 6'5", about 255 pounds.
Hansen to give with the lane and a stiff arm. Hansen with his foot on the gas sets up first and goal. Run out by Trenton Allen Yao. 38-yard pickup. Got to make the play.
See, that's what a safety is. You're the safety net of the defense.
We got to talk about this. Look at, if you look, Cody, look at this. Or hold on. Let's go back real quick. I went back a little bit too much. But look at this hole right here. I'm going to look at that. Look at this. That's what a safety right there. It's beautiful. The left tackle goes and pushes him out of the way. I think that might have been, who's on the left side? I believe it's Tyler Miller. No. I think it's James Neal.
Yeah, but I think it was James Neal and then Barrett, I believe.
Yeah, and Barrett, look at how beautiful, like, that seam just opens and then just run to the outside. That's textbook blocking right there by the offensive line.
Yeah, and, yeah, I mean, like we said earlier, this was a case where the running game would have made a lot of sense to just absolutely just run the football all over Arkansas State. I think that was just supposed to be the game plan we did. And I just think that simply, like, throughout the game, Iowa State, we got a little too aggressive at times. There were times where we got a little too aggressive. And I think just taking the simple plays would have made sense. But again, it's all hindsight.
Right.
But, I mean, later on in this drive, I mean, yeah, go ahead. But, yeah.
Burden. Back to the air with nowhere to go and brought down by Ethan Hessler. A loss of 8 and it's third down. Well, that's the best pass rusher on the Arkansas State defense. They empty it out, third and goal. Backs. Scrambles. Takes off. And Rocco back to the goal line.
So you see right there, he's like, man, nothing is going right. And QB1 is like, you know what? If nobody, we ain't in a rut, I'm going to do it myself. Mm-hmm. Goes in and gives the Cyclones a 9-0 lead.
Yeah. Yeah, I think this day overall was just a very odd day. And I think this like also brings up the debate about the whole, like, I know a lot of people had like talks, but like, why are we even playing this game? Like, I never realized how big the debate it was, but yeah. I think this game just showed, like, why do we play these games? And many, like, of the elite, like, programs that people like to talk about, they don't play these kinds of games. And it's because things can get really weird in this game. And I think, just talk about a little later, things got ugly for Iowa State. Things got ugly for Iowa State. And I think, especially on special teams, I don't know what it was. I mean, we talked about 9-0, and yeah, it's just Conradi missed an extra point. It was very uncharacteristic, but it turned out that maybe it had something to do with like his groin being injured or whatever. Hopefully it's nothing serious, and it doesn't sound like it's anything serious something that can be taken care of during the bye week. But yeah, I think that we should have known that we were in for a not so pleasant Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, that with the elements, because it was 100 plus degrees on the field. I think it was like 112 on the sideline, so it was just absolutely miserable.
And then, I mean, mentioned it too, mental fatigue because of what Iowa State just played. Have they gone through the last couple of months? Yeah, fall camp, convention, and then the two rivalry games, and just playing these four games, traveling across just the amount of travel. And, I mean, that kind of takes a toll. Like, that takes the mental fatigue toll on you as a player eventually, and I think it caught up to Iowa State.
Yeah, and I mean, as you saw after you saw later on in the game where they went down to get a field goal, and then near the end of the half, we're gonna watch and as Arkansas State goes down the field, and as Jalen Rayner was giving the Cyclones problems on the ground. So watch as we show that. Mm-hmm.
Snap, where do you want to go with it?
My quarterback running to the right, giving him buying a little bit of time and watching this guy, Cobb, in the slot.
16 in black, middle of your screen. They run it with Rayner to the right side, late flip on the action. Clay turns it upfield, and he's got a first down inside the five. Rayner. End zone, just out of the reach of his intended target, Hunter Summers from Arkansas State.
Watch the tight end Fortin ball.
Rayner running behind Clay with a cut, a spin, a shove to the end zone. Touchdown! Jalen Rayner rumbles.
And it was a methodical drive, by Arkansas State.
I mean, you see that like time of possession, that was 8 minutes, and that's what Arkansas State really did. Like, they just, it's just because, like, I think it was a mix of like our offense not really being able to do something, but also we just could not get off the field because Jalen Rayner. I mean, this has been the weakness usually John Haycock defense is the 3-3-5. You got a mobile quarterback that can make plays, and that's exactly what Jalen Rayner does. He made plays on his feet, and it was just very difficult to deal with him. And obviously, when your defense is out on the field for so long, it gets really they get tired. They really do.
Yeah, they get tired, and you see right there, it was a methodical drive. And one of the things that really, really impressed me with Jalen Rayner is that I believe in the scout the scouting report in the week before is that he likes to be greedy sometimes. You did see that near the end of the game, but at the beginning of this game and during before the fourth quarter, he was literally just taking what the defense was giving him and just really being patient and going 5 yards, 6 yards, 7 yards, 7 yards, 8 yards, 5 yards, 6 yards. And that's really how you can truly have success on this Iowa State defense. Yeah. They're going to force you to go downfield and see if you make a mistake. And if you don't, then, I mean, congrats on you for being patient.
Yeah. And, I mean, that's something that I've known for sure. Like, that's the thing, I think, that Iowa State fans were getting a bit frustrated watching this game. It's just, like Arkansas State taking, like, what they're giving them and, like, these continue, like, these long drives. And I think that's been one of the frustrations lately with the John Haycock's defense. It's just not being able to get off the field because, yeah, you're only giving them, like, 4 or 5 yards, like, as a given. But those really build up, and it's just your inability to get off the field. And, I mean, no, for sure, that's just been a big criticism.
For sure. And then we're going to look at this next drive because, obviously, this next drive definitely surprised me, man. I was like, are you kidding me? So let's watch that.
Yeah.
Start. Probably determines how aggressive Matt Campbell gets. Headed to halftime. Back to the air. Checked out Carson Hansen and a good pickup on first down. Smartly turns out of bounds. Only 6 seconds come off the clock and it's 14 yards.
Yeah, that's a good drive starter because now you've got a little bit of momentum and now you're trying to figure out, well, what is the range for the field goal kicking? That's what it is. Chase Smith, he's a true freshman. He's over there warming up. Chase Smith, he's a true freshman out of Iowa. What's his range? I don't think he expected, has not attempted a field goal this season.
Yeah, he's not even listed on the depth chart. Beck's going back to the air. Under some pressure, navigating, and he ducks down. It's a loss of a yard, and immediately Matt Campbell races in to call his second timeout with 25 seconds remaining.
Rival in Iowa a week ago, and now all of a sudden they're in a dogfight.
On second down, here's a shot off the seam to Xavier Townsend. Takes it into field goal territory on a dart from Beck for 35.
Oh, man, they've been waiting on Townsend. They've been trying to get him going. He's lined up in the middle in the slot, and that's a nice throw from Beck to Townsend.
Super quiet from Townsend the first three games. Beck looking end zone. Got it! Touchdown, Tom Overby!
So you see right there, just Iowa State in their quick two-minute offense starts off with a dump off to Carson Hansen for him to be cognizant of getting the first down, getting out of bounds, saving 6 seconds. And then obviously you see Rocco get sacked on the next play, but and then he hits Xavier Townsend in the seam for a 35 yard gain. And then as you can see, Dom Overby beautifully running that go route and getting separation and redeeming himself from a pretty last week struggling and getting a touchdown to put the Cyclones up 16-10. And you'd see, like, having the lead in this game, I think lead at halftime definitely helped this team's psyche because you saw, like, Arkansas State was, like, dejected after this touchdown happened.
Yeah. Actually, we actually went for the two-point conversion because of the missed PAT earlier. We went for two.
Oh, yeah, 17-10. Yeah, my bad. Yeah, we're going to we'll watch
what an
that.
Answer from the Cyclones.
You've got everything that you want, and Overby just runs right by him. That's it. That ball's thrown perfectly. Overby actually had to slow up just a little bit. But the ball right into his arm. That's an outstanding play. And this is I don't see the field goal kicking team coming out.
Cyclones. They will shift Cooper Alexander, Ben Bramer and company to the left side of the formation. Betts, Hansen out of the backfield for two more.
So just a nice play call right there and just getting out of the first half with a 17-10 lead. And right here, obviously a lot of people didn't feel good about this, but were frustrated with the first half. But to go in with a lead, it really, really tells you about the determination of this Iowa State team.
Mm-hmm. And I think it also shows kind of the growth and maturity of this year's squad because I think the mental toughness was there. Previous year squads, I don't think would have won a game of this type of caliber. I mean,
Obviously, the Ohio game is the big example that everybody talks about when it comes to playing a G5 team on the road and really losing that game. But I think this game showed a little maturity. Yeah, the second half was just really uneventful, I'd say. Just a lot of field goals and just a struggle. But, I mean, Arkansas State was just right there. But Iowa State in the fourth quarter was able to really land the knockout blow. And
yes, we're going to watch Run and the fact to just, like, that they were able to hold them to two field goals when Arkansas State could have converted those into touchdowns is how the defense just bucked up in the second half, continuing to be amazing in the second half where they only gave up, I believe, 6 points. So heads up to the defense. I know, like, they were pretty frustrated. They definitely got bent, but they did not break. So we'll watch this, and then we're going to watch the game that we're going to watch the play that iced the game.
Like, he's got enough for a first down. Brandon Greil in on the Steins catch. Turned up for the first down. Back to the air. Long throw, and he got it to the edge for Carson Brown. Only his second catch of the season. And Bramer finally involved as well on these last couple of drives. Bent. Deep shot downfield for Townsend. Dropped in the bucket by Rocco Beck. 44-yard pickup to Xavier Townsend.
That's his best throw of the day. And look at the rainbow ball. Well, they call these the moon ball, right? Russell Wilson has done a quick job in the NFL for doing these types of plays. But see the arc on that football, able to go up and drop down in the bucket of gold like a rainbow.
And now Carson Hansen breaks a couple of tackles, and Hansen takes it a shade inside the 10. The big moments.
And this is a great route. Townsend just gets to the outside, and he watch how he adjusts to this football. See, he gave his quarterback an opportunity to get that ball. He got off the red line. We call it the red line, at little 5 yards off the sideline. Just give your quarterback an opportunity so you can fade to it, and that's what Townsend did. He did a lot at UCF, and now bringing it to the Cyclones.
Those guys, Townsend and Beck, have known each other since they were 8 years old. Hanson's helmet came off, so Sama comes into the game and gets the carry. And Sama's got a touchdown! There is a flag down for James Neal III.
Offense, number 75, 10-yard fielding, second down.
Couple possessions. Second down and long. Becht wants Eskelson, incomplete, but a flag.
First down.
Yeah, that's the restriction. Always look for restriction. Are you restricting the wide receiver from being able to go up and make the play or make the catch? And that time, Trenton Allen Yao had that left hand on the shoulder pad. That's the pass interference call.
Boy, there's been so much symmetry. Red zone penalties, and then one that is called pass interference, one that wasn't. Cooper jockeying with Rucker at the other end. And now Iowa State's got first down and goal from the 4. Sama the carry. Running over the defender.
Dude, I lost my mind when I saw that. I'm like, I mean, we gotta talk about Abu Sama, man. I think Abu is definitely learning and finally coming into his own at that position. And now you saw in this game where there and last week's game where he has the potential to be a home run hitter. Now he's seeing the holes running north and south. This guy has definitely made a transformation at the running back position.
Mm, yeah. And I think, I wanted to mention something because the play before obviously had the pass interference. Something right. that I noticed, like, people were saying, like, I knew this is something that, like, as an Iowa State fan, what an odd world we live in. The fact that, like, our biggest rivals are saying that we're getting bailed up by the officials. It's a weird world we live in. It's a world
it
we
is.
Live in. I'm so used to the refs screwing us over, maybe for it being justified or not, but still, usually when the refs call a bunch of penalties, it's usually against Iowa State, for one reason or another. Yeah. Now people are claiming that, all of a sudden that we're getting favorable calls by the ref. And I think there were maybe one or two calls. But, I mean, the penalty disparity is there. What, Arkansas State, 10 of 90, 10 for 90. Us, Iowa State, 3 for 30. But, yeah. I mean, I think a lot of those penalties are just Arkansas State really shooting themselves in the foot because they had a chance. They had chances to win this game. They just could not sure stop did. Getting – part of it, yeah, they just could not stop getting in their own way. And that's just a part of what ultimately goes into either winning or losing. But yeah, and I don't know, was it after this? But I mean, we have to mention Trey Bell on the defense, man. We talked
about that. Yes. Oh my gosh.
That Trey Bell interception was a thing of beauty.
Yes. Hold on. We're going to watch that because, man, are you kidding me? Was it on the drive to get the ball back? Or was
No, because I think we scored the touchdown. Then we got the interception because.
There we go. I think. Yeah.
The 25-yard line. Kansas State with the football. And that quarterback, Jalen Rayner, third-year starter here in Jonesboro. A screen to his roommate, Chauncey Cobb. Hurdles to get the edge. And Cobb with a good pickup. Very close to a first down. And he does have enough. Jones challenged both of them. Cobb stuck around. And now Rayner going to the air.
This is it.
Deep shot downfield for Summers. Over.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Like
Trey Bell looked at the wide receiver going for that.
Like usually you see like just like safety just let the ball go. But man, he wanted that ball. He really like was he saw his like see ball go get ball, made a beautiful diving play to get the interception and eventually run the clock out. Like, yeah. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, and I think, this is just one of those games where, I mean, repeatedly, going to be a lot of people are going to say it. This is just one of those games that you get in, you get out, and you get to the bye week because, this was probably, just run down the clock, and then we got to talk, like, obviously, the ice the game, the play that iced the game.
Oh, my, yes. Is this right here?
Yeah, I think, it was, third and something.
Yes, third and something, or, hold on. Yeah, here we go.
They roll out Becks. He's looking downfield for Carson Brown.
Unreal. Unreal.
Yeah.
Like.
I was feeling a lot of different things like during the game. I know a lot of fans like were. But, man, I just said this. It just feels nice to be 4-0. I'd rather be 4-0 than 3-1 heading into the bye week.
Yes. I need to get on my soapbox for a second. Like, I understand that you're disappointed, but can we just stop acting like 4-0 is something that we do? Like, I understand, like, this is, like, you want the team to play better. Oh, we deserve to play better. Nah, yes, we deserve to play better. But you realize that this is the third time since 1978 that we have started a season 4-0, including last year. And this is the third time that we've done it. So, man, geez, have some perspective. Like, be critical of the team, but also remember, like, where we've come. All right, I'm done. I saw insane takes today. And I was like, y'all need to stop.
Yeah. I mean, anytime, like, I was looking, like, and I saw the AP poll come out, and, I mean, I knew somebody, like, okay, some people, like, I saw some, like, the whole thing with, like, you got bailed out by the ref. Well, listen, it's a weird feeling, okay? We're not used to this. How do you expect this to handle? But, oh, God.
But and, Is it by certain fan bases that lost to us?
Part of it, yeah. Iowa fans Iowa fans keep getting on our case because, like, oh wow, you got bailed out, you got handed this and that, and I'm like, okay, what? Y'all still in our soapbox after we beat y'all? Didn't y'all have a game against UMass? Congratulations, Kirk Ferentz. You fought like. I'll say this about Kirk Ferentz. Congrats on getting 206 wins and passing Woody Hayes. Take it with a grain of salt, but I mean, hey, it's an accomplishment or whatever. The memes that came out, like, I was going to meme so much about, like, him getting a Gatorade bath just because he got that. I'm like, I get it. I get the celebration. It's a great accomplishment, but, oh, good Lord. Like, I look at Iowa. They are the epitome of mid. Iowa could have done so much more in 20 years. I don't know why I'm talking about Iowa, but this just got annoying to me. It's like, you could have done so much more at Iowa, but no, you've kept Kirk Ferentz. He was very stubborn, and you constantly were staying at the 8-4, 9-3 range. You never got past 12, except for a few years, but still.
I'm not gonna lie, Cody. It's really, really fun to see two of our biggest rivals that we've beat this year preying on our downfall because they both suck. Yeah. So more K-State than Iowa. I think Iowa's gonna be decent, but
yeah. But before we talk about, I need to go back to the AP thing. I had a friend saying like, why are we even ranked 12? We don't deserve. Like, I saw people saying we don't deserve to have moved two spots, and I'm like, dude. Did we not realize?
Shut up.
Like, did we not realize, like, we took care of our business and then we had things happen around us? Like, and we looked nationally. What a day. Dude, there was a day for us that's it was a bad day to be in the state of Carolina.
let's get into that.
I don't want to talk about this anymore. I want to move on. I just want to just enjoy the bye week and get ready for Arizona. That's what
We're going to look at the top 25, man, because what a day in college football. Man, hold on. Jeez. All right, we're going to look at Saturday, and I'm going to share my screen, but what a day in college football.
Before we get to Saturday, we need to talk about, like, the Big 12 on Friday Night Lights. That's man.
Yeah,
before we talk about Saturday's matchups, we need to take a look at Friday because Houston, Connor Wigman, they are looking so good right now. Things are looking really good in Houston with Willie Fritz and Connor Wigman. 222 total passing yards as Houston wins against Colorado, 36-20. Houston is a team I do not want to be playing right now, and I'm kind of glad that we don't play them.
I'm glad we don't play them or Tech or Baylor.
Or Utah.
Like, I'm so glad we don't play either of those teams. And, unfortunately, Arizona wins over K-State 23-17. And, man, when I tell you that K-State fans are, like, in shambles right now, they're in absolute shambles with them and also the Chiefs. So, they are in hell right now.
Yeah, I'll be honest. Arizona, I think there are things that Arizona could have, like, I think Arizona could have won this game by more if it wasn't for a few plays that kept Kansas State in. Because I remember it coming in halftime, Arizona was up, 17-3? Then they immediately give up a long touchdown to, who was it, Jace Brown?
Jace Brown, and then a end around by Jace Brown. And then they gave K-State a short field by muffing a punt.
It was the muff punt. No, it was fumbling the catch, punt being blocked, and then I think it was a fumble. I bet three things happened in favor of Kansas State all in the same play, and they managed to score that. But man, Arizona just able to hold it down the stretch, get that win. And this game, I think in the preseason, not many people were looking at Arizona Iowa State as being interesting, but now it's getting it's a lot more interesting now. You have two teams that are undefeated heading in. Arizona, I think, is exceeding expectations. Things are looking really good for Brett Brennan and company. I think the players for the Wildcats of Arizona are really buying into what Brett Brennan is building. In Tucson, Noah Fafita obviously has done pretty well. And I know some people are definitely worried about what Noah Fafita would do because we obviously had that Rainer from Arkansas State, what he was able to do against us. How are we going to handle Noah Fafita? And I think part of that can be answered just with the rest, because I think now the rest can give our guys an opportunity to reset, refocus, and get ready for this game. So I expect the case, but things are looking bad there. And then you talk about bad, things are even worse for UCLA. They got absolutely smacked by New Mexico. What? And their head coach is gone. Oh, boy. It's not looking good for the Bruins in Los Angeles.
Yeah, and apparently now there's like a 30-day transfer portal now for players that with their coach when they get fired. Yeah. So now players have 30 days to find a new home.
Yeah, if they choose to enter the portal. And the same thing can go with Virginia Tech because Virginia Tech fired Brett Pry after their 0-3 start. So
they got murdered by Old Dominion.
Oh God, that was bad. And that will lead us straight into our Saturday slate. And Wow. Let's just start with the top 25. I mean, Ohio State and Penn State absolutely taking care of business at home. Nothing much to write home. LSU just forcing DJ Lagway to be really uncomfortable. And yeah, this was just a defensive feast, I think, for the LSU Tigers. They take down the Florida Gators 20-10. Oregon just really didn't have to worry too much about Northwestern as they won 34-14. The number five Miami Hurricanes wiped the floor with South Florida as Carson Beck goes 340 yards, winning that game 49-12. And Georgia, Tennessee going right down to the wire.
Man. You want to talk about what a game, bro. I mean, Tennessee started off hot. Joey Aguilar was in his bag earlier in the game. They're up 21-7. And it's like, man, can anybody stop Tennessee? But Georgia comes back and responds with two scores of himself. I believe they were up 24-21 at half. And then it was just the same thing in the second half, where it was score for score for score for score. Tennessee had a fumble and it was up 35-30. We only get a field goal out of that drive, weren't able to finish, made it 38-30, and Georgia went down, and I believe the quarterback's name for Georgia. Yes. He throws a beautiful fade route, and then they got the 2-point conversion, made it 38-38, forced the Tennessee into field goal, and then they scored the game winning touchdown 44-41 to fully take control in the SEC.
Mm-hmm. So really early big win there for the Georgia Bulldogs, and the SEC, I think right now is looking clearly to look between LSU and Georgia, because Texas, this one was a little ugly. I think the Arch Manning Heisman hype has died down a bit. Texas hosted UTEP, won 27-10, but boy, the recession was not great for Arch Manning. It was not a good day for him, and the Texas fans were letting him know their feelings.
Also, we thought that UGA Tennessee was going to be the game of the day. The game of the day was Texas A&M and Notre Dame up in South Bend. What a game. Marcel Reed came to play 360 yards passing, throws a beautiful ball to the tight end, I believe, who transferred in from Nebraska, and they win a thriller in South Bend, 41-40, and Notre Dame is now 0-2.
Yeah, and I mean, where does this put Notre Dame? Like, does this knock Notre Dame effectively out of the playoff field? Because I mean, looking at Notre Dame's schedule after that, they really do not have much left. Like, they don't have any – well, I guess as of right now, they do have 25 USC. But outside of that, this schedule does not impress me at all. Notre Dame really needed to win either Miami or Texas A&M or maybe even both, because now it's very slim pickings for Notre Dame.
I mean – like, I will say, if they go and win the rest of the games, I don't think there's any way that they leave Notre Dame out of the playoff. And as horrible as that sounds, it's just that's really just the reality. I think if they were to win the rest of their games, or if they lose one more game, I still think that they would be able to get in at 9-3, but they'd be at large. But that'd be so weird
because, like, then I mean that was set a
will set a precedent, but I mean it's facts, man. You and I both know that is facts.
Yeah. All right. Well, take a look more around the top 25. Illinois shuts out Western Michigan 30-0, and then Vanderbilt walks into the cockpit in Columbia, and Diego Pavia absolutely lights up the Gamecocks as Vanderbilt wins 31-7.
I was shocked by this. I don't know what happened to South Carolina, but man, now South Carolina has to go on the road for the Battle of Columbia to Columbia, Missouri, to play Mizzou next week. And Mizzou is a very tough place to play, so we'll see how they respond coming off a very, very tough loss at home. And
I'm seeing part of what happened. Yeah, it looked like Lenore Sellers was knocked out of the game in the second quarter.
See, that explains a lot.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Laura Seller status uncertain for next week. I'm reading this from the AP poll or for AP. Yeah, Lenore Sellers was knocked out of the game after a hit from Vanderbilt linebacker Langston Patterson, who was then ejected for targeting. So it was a head-to-head contact. Lenore Sellers did not return, and he was. And then South Carolina had to rely on Luke Dottie to replicate any offense, but it was not looking good. It was not good. And Vanderbilt just ran roughshod all over South Carolina, and yeah, huge. Vanderbilt being 3-0 in the year is crazy.
It is. I mean, they're a bona fide bowl team. Vanderbilt is full on good now. And Georgia Tech in a thriller beats Clemson at home 24-21. The Clemson fans, at the beginning of the year, they're saying Klubnik for Heisman, but man, now they sort of want to replace because he did not look good. And this Clemson offense, I don't know what is up, but yeah, now they're 1-2, and the way their offense is playing, I'm not really surprised that they are 1-2.
Yeah, nothing impressed me about Clemson, and just things are really dire because now basically, if you're Clemson, you have to win the ACC, otherwise you are not getting in the playoff. At least from what I'm seeing, they have to win out. They have to win the ACC championship. But, I mean, things are not, like, but winning the ACC, looking pretty slim to none, considering you got to deal with Georgia Tech, who, yeah, is basically now like a contender to win the conference. And also you have to deal with Miami and Florida State, who are up right there. And so it's a very it's a very dark path for Clemson to try to crawl their way back in the college football playoff. But a team that doesn't have to worry about that right now are the Oklahoma Sooners, as they went into Philly to take out Temple 42-3. And John Mateer continues to make his case for the Heisman.
Yeah, man, 282 yards through the air. And I believe he had another rushing touchdown. So, man, they might be the favorites in a few weeks when they play in Dallas against their arch rival Texas. OU is on a roll right now, so we'll see how they fare come SEC play. And then Ole Miss in another thriller. They beat Arkansas 41-35 in a shootout.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, Ole Miss, just didn't know what to expect at Ole Miss, considering they were missing Jackson Dart, obviously, and Trey Harris, so don't know what to expect out of them. But Ole Miss, they look to attend, and they've got a very interesting game against Tulane coming up this Saturday. So I'm watching out for Tulane. It's Tulane. I don't know what it is. And I think, Ole Miss is only a 11.5-point favorite against the Tulane Green Wave. So look out for Tulane possibly could come in and make things really interesting for the Ole Miss Rebels. Yep. Continuing down here, Alabama just takes care of business against Wisconsin. I think there's some confidence back with the Alabama fan base after that week one loss to Florida State. I think there's some confidence back. There's some confidence back in Tuscaloosa.
There is. You needed a win like this over a Wisconsin program that really just hasn't looked impressive at all under Luke Fickell. But this is the type of win that you get the fan base back with. And Utah, although they won 31-6, this score is sort of deceiving. They were only up 17-0 at half, but they struggled in this game.
Oh, they weren't even up 17-0 at half. It was 3-0 at halftime.
Yeah. I mean, they scored most of their points in the second half, but Devin Dampier only had 230 yards. I don't know if this is a showing that Utah wanted to put on tape, but they have a big matchup with Texas Tech next week for their conference opener.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a dandy.
Yeah. Can I real quick talk about this is the drives of the first half for Utah.
Yes. So
it was field goal, missed field goal, missed field goal, punt, fumble, and missed field goal.
That sounds like that Dvorak thing on the Solid Verbal. I don't know if you listen to Solid Verbal, Cody, but they do these things where they read the drive chart to classical music. It's funny. That's the funniest bit.
You're going to have to send me this, but that sounds hilarious. You have to send me that. Yeah. But anyways, I mean, we just mentioned Texas Tech. Texas Tech, after a very interesting weather delay, beats up on Oregon State 45-14. I mean, them tortillas were back, and that was a sight to see. Just all those tortillas flying in. I don't know why. I don't know who is it trying to get rid of them, but no, it's a thing. It's a beautiful thing to have, and we need to keep the traditions like that alive.
Yes, they do. We need to keep college football, college football.
Yes. Continuing down here, Michigan beats up with Central Michigan 63-3. Nothing home to write about. Auburn wins. Stuff's a little bit of scare, but takes care of business against South Alabama 31-15. Mizzou tames takes care of the Raging Cajuns 52-10. So that's the top 25 for you. And we got to take a look at the Big 12 because
the
results of the Big 12 I am very excited to talk about that we haven't already mentioned.
Yes, sir. We're going to go there. Yep.
All right. Baylor takes care of Sanford. Not much to write about. But, man, the backyard brawl, yes.
What a game. This was a – man, I mean, this game had so many different types of emotions. I mean, I believe West Virginia was up, what, like 14-11? And West Virginia kicked a field goal 24-17. Oh, and then they score to tie it with 11 seconds left to force overtime. Oh, what a game.
Mm-hmm.
I love the backyard, bro.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, the backyard ball is a thing of beauty. Just rivalries that are great. And then, yeah, win it overtime and just Rich Rodriguez, man. I don't know if they're going to – what's just going to do too much with Rich Rod, but I think they're certainly are a team that can go bowling. So – that's what I'm going to expect out of West Virginia going forward is they should be a team that it goes 6-6, 7-5, and just get to a bowl game. Because, I mean, there's not much you can ask for, but it's an honest day's work.
Yes, yes.
And then Cincinnati pitches the shutout over Northwestern State. Brandon Sorsby absolutely lights it up. TCU just takes care of business against Abilene Christian, and then Arizona State rebounds from their loss to Mississippi State with a 34-15 win over Texas State. So, I mean, this was not too impressive like Saturday for the Big 12, but they all won their games. Nobody took a bad loss like they did week two. And then we got some conference play and just, yeah.
Why don't we take a look at week four?
I mean, we're on the bye week, so we can just talk about whatever, at least this week.
Yeah, this week, man.
Oh, it feels nice to have a relaxing week for once, and we can just sit back and watch all the college football.
Cody, stress-free football is the best football to watch, man. I love it.
Yep. Oh, man, we got Friday Night Lights in Stillwater. Oklahoma State will be hosting Tulsa. Things are dire for Oklahoma State, if you ask me, after that bad loss to Oregon. Oklahoma State needs to show some life. Otherwise, my heads are going to be
cold. Ooh. Look at the 11 a.m. slot.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We got big new kickoff for that Texas Tech-Utah game. That's kicking off at 10 a.m. local time, which is that's kind of nuts, you ask me.
Yeah, that is
nuts. Nice. Earlier than I thought. But, yeah, I think we said, like, this would be an early test to see who's going to make it to Arlington. Between those two, and then it would be TCU and Iowa State. So really good opportunity to see who could be potentially in the running to go to Arlington. And then SMU at TCU at 11 as well. So if you've got the capabilities, put that up on your multiple monitors and just have a fun 11 a.m.
Yeah, battle for the iron skillet in that one. You have North Carolina, the fighting Bill Belichick's, go on the road to the bounce house and play UCF.
Oh, Bill Belichick versus Scott Frost in college football. What?
Man.
What a world we live in.
And look at the line. Look at the line for KU West Virginia. Like, I think this has the opportunity to be a major letdown, and Kansas could put B to A to West Virginia.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, especially because West Virginia's coming off that emotional backyard brawl win.
Kansas
might just come in. And I don't know. Maybe Jalen Daniels is just going to run all over that West Virginia defense and just light up the scoreboard. And, I mean, that stadium is going to be – should be rocking. And I know Kansas is going to be still reeling from that border war loss. And, I mean, they've had a week to rest. So I think they definitely have had the opportunity to hit the reset button and just come out there and just start conference play on the right note by beating up on West Virginia.
Yes. And this is a game that we talked about on Fox at 6:30. One of our top games, top conference games of the season. This is going to be Arizona State's first test, conference test on the road as they go on the road to play at McLean Stadium in Waco against Baylor.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, for these two squads, they want to be able to stay in the race for the Big 12 after suffering some bad non-con losses. So this is an opportunity for either of these teams to bounce back and still be in the race for the Big 12. So really excited to look for that one. And then also at 6:30, BYU travels to Greenville, North Carolina to take on the Pirates of East Carolina.
Ooh, interesting.
And the line is BYU minus 6.5. So, look out, Cougs. You might be falling right into the trap of the East Carolina Pirates.
I mean, you want to talk about a puzzling line? Look at this 13.5-point line for Colorado. 13.5-point favorites at home against Wyoming, especially when they have quarterback trouble. I don't know about that. I think that line is fit. I would pick Wyoming to cover the spread because Colorado is in flux right now.
Yeah, for sure. So really good. This is just a fun. Like this is just going to be a weekend for Iowa State to relax. And I mean nationally. Friday night, there's going to be a hate watch going on. I am so ready for this hate watch.
Oh, yes. Let's look nationally. Yes, yes. Let's do it. Let's do it. Yeah.
Oh, this is going to be this. If this thing's going right, right there. 7 o'clock on Friday night, Iowa travels to Rutgers. Oh, man, please. And I was only a 2.5-point favorite. Please, Rutgers.
Bet I want y'all to win. 45.5. Bet the under.
Oh, man. This is gonna be funny to watch. I was gonna see two teams struggle on offense.
Yeah, and then if you want to see two teams struggle on defense, watch Arkansas go on the road to Memphis. That's gonna be a fun one to watch. Syracuse goes on the road to Clemson. Clemson's 17.5-point favorite. Let's see if they can see how they respond. Let's see what else I'm looking. Man, Wofford going to Virginia Tech. That game is on ESPN Plus. There's not even a line for that game. I wonder if West Virginia will get their first win of the season. Who knows?
Or Virginia Tech, you mean?
Oh yeah, Virginia Tech, my man.
Yeah. Okay. What else we got here? Auburn at Oklahoma at 2:30.
Ooh.
I don't know. That one should be a fun one. Jackson Arnold versus John Mateer. Holy cow.
What a matchup. Ooh. Yep. And then look at the other one at 2:30. Tulane going on the road to Ole Miss.
Yeah. Did mention this earlier. Ole Miss being only an 11.5-point favorite. Yeah, watch out for this one. Tulane could definitely give Ole Miss a fit. And then real quick, you know what? I didn't remember to this earlier. I don't know if you saw this. Where is it? Where are they at? Why is Miami hosting Florida? Why is the Miami Florida game College Game Day versus Auburn Oklahoma? Like, what are we doing?
Dude, I don't get that. I saw that, but I was like, why are they going to Miami? It's probably because Miami is good. It's not. It's really more about Miami than it really says more about Miami than Florida because Miami's number four. Okay, so yeah. I think that's why.
Yeah, whatever. Well, anyways, it was just stupid. But, I mean, there's still some stuff in 2:30. Number 21 Michigan travels to Nebraska, and then Purdue travels to number 24 Notre Dame. So Notre Dame is a 26.5-point favorite against Purdue, and Michigan is a 1.5-point favorite against Nebraska.
Remember, Notre Dame beat this team 66-7 last year. So Purdue is going to remember that. Purdue is playing a lot better. Purdue's still bad, but Purdue is a much better team than it was last year. I don't think that they're going to lose 66-7 this year.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
And then we talk about teams in Indiana. Number 9, Illinois travels to Bloomington to take on number 19, Indiana.
Yes. At
6:30 p.m. on NBC. Really good matchup.
I am going to tune into that. That's going to be a huge matchup for the Big Ten. Man, that's going to be a dandy. Yeah. And also, number 20, Vanderbilt is hosting Georgia State. This is going to be a revenge spot for Vanderbilt as they lost to Georgia State on the road last year.
Yeah,
we have the Apple Cup and the Civil War. Washington State is reeling. I don't know if you saw, dude, but they got murdered by North Texas.
Oh,
59-10.
Oh, God. Yeah, I'm looking at the stat line.
That's
their
crazy.
Quarterback, 16-20, Potter for Washington State, 16-23 with 3 interceptions all the day. Meanwhile, Mestemaker for North Texas, 24-29 for 4 touchdowns. What in the world? Oh, yeah. No.
Yeah, dude, that was absolutely insane, man.
Yeah, but, I mean, there were some really good games there. And, yeah, really good time. Yeah, I didn't mention, good time for the bye week for Iowa State because the guys can be rested, and a good time for us fans because we get to sit back, potentially watch Rutgers beat Iowa so we can laugh in their face more, even though I'll say this, it's going to make our win against them look really worse because, I mean, people are already talking about, like, our wins are not that impressive. People are going to ask, like, who the hell has Iowa State beaten? Because our wins against Kansas State and South Dakota and Iowa aren't really aging. Like, well, at least the Kansas State one is not aging too well.
As much as I can't send the Hawks, we're going to need them to win. And I actually do think that with the way their quarterback play looked on Saturday, yes, albeit be UMass, we do need them to keep winning. For us, for that win to look good, as much as I hate saying that, but I do think that they will go on a run and probably and we'll see about that game in a few weeks when Penn State comes to Kinnick, and that game is probably going to be a night game.
Dude, if I get tickets for that, oh my God!
Yeah, dude,
that might be a fun time if I get tickets for that.
Yeah. All right, guys. Thank you. This was a longer episode, but thank you guys for listening to the evening edition of the Believe in Iowa State podcast. Find us on Twitter at me, Tyler, at SideTie Guy. Find Cody at Fomac Campbell. And also, reach out to us and find us on social media at our other forms of social media, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, and Twitch. And also, a special thank you to our sponsor, FanDuel. But yes, for Tyler Carter
and for Cody Banciolo,
this is the Believe in Iowa State podcast. Roll clones, baby.
Go Cyclones.